Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
60 games. 60 games in Major League Baseball from the time that they start right towards the end of July till they finish at the end of September, and then we go into the postseason, and it will get weird for sure. It also will probably end with the Dodgers winning the NL West and the Dodgers advancing to the playoffs. Let's be as optimistic as possible, LZ. Let's say the Dodgers win the World Series.
Okay.
And I, you know,
yes,
we're going to celebrate it. We're going to celebrate it, and it's going to be great. And we'll have our Zoom party with, you know, 2 million Angelinos celebrating remotely when they win the World Series. Do you think that it alters Clayton Kershaw's legacy permanently in the sense that let's say he pitches and he pitches fine and they win the World Series? Is all of a sudden that deep breath that we're all waiting for on Clayton Kershaw's behalf, like, you finally got your World Series, does that check that box if it comes in a 60-game season?
Absolutely. 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 Here's the thing. Every Dodger who was robbed by the Houston Astros, if they win this year, it's like, it's even. Now all of a sudden the crate is slain. Because most people are looking at it like going, okay, you guys got cheated, but then you came back two seasons later and you were able, or three seasons later now, and you were able to win a World Series under these conditions. You were talented before then. You were talented after that. Everyone projected you to win a World Series eventually, and you did it. And I think that will be fine. The only way this season really gets an asterisk, like a real asterisk, if it's some scrubby ass squad ends up winning a championship like the Pirates or something like that, then then people are going, "What the hell was that?" But I honestly feel, Travis, that if Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen, they pitch well, they win a championship, it's going to be legit. And it'd be a weird regular season, but that postseason is going to feel right.
Well, yeah, maybe. And here's the big maybe. To your point, if the Pirates win the World Series, well, yeah, come on, man, 60 games, get out of here. That doesn't really matter. What if the Dodgers win the World Series, but to get there, they had to beat the Pirates, and they had to beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in the playoffs to advance to that point? And coming out of the American League, because like we know, just math happens, randomness happens, all of a sudden the Chicago White Sox are the opponent in the World Series. And the Dodgers go right through them and they win that thing. And it doesn't feel the same as having to go through a long season, because the White Sox would have never gotten into the playoffs in a long season. The Colorado Rockies would have never gotten into the playoffs in a long season. And if your path in the postseason is through a bunch of guys that got there because it was a 60-game season rather than, hey, that's a really good team. If they beat the Yankees or they beat the Astros, hell yes, it matters. Hell yes, it counts. And hell yes, you check that box. I'm a World Series champion. And if you don't think so, you know, blank you. I get that. But if you get a White Sox or something like that that comes out of that other side and you have to beat a White Sox esque team in your half of the draw, that's not just a 60 game thing. That is a, this is just a, this doesn't count thing.
I mean, I guess you could look at it that way if you're going by the names alone, but everyone's starting from the same place. Everyone's got the same pressure. We recognize that weird things can happen. And usually over the course of 160 some games, usually, you know, those weird things work themselves out, and now you don't have that opportunity. But we're all in the same boat. We all have the same opportunities. We all have the same obstacles to overcome, and we all have the same potential to fulfill. And the only way that I would be ticked off or bothered or bummed out with the Dodgers World Series victory in this season is if it was done and Clayton Kershaw didn't pitch well. That if they lost two games in the World Series and both those losses were his, I'd be bummed by that. I would legitimately be bummed by that. But I'm still going to take, and I'm going to tap into that Zoom parade meeting, that whatever, you know, however the hell we end up celebrating it. I'm not going to feel a certain kind of way about it. I'm not going to feel a certain kind of way about any of the talented top-tier teams winning, regardless of who their opponents are. I'm only going to feel weird as if my Tigers end up winning the World Series. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to celebrate. But just like that dude that knows he's dating an ugly girl and he's trying to pretend like she's not ugly, I'm going to pretend as if the Tigers are really champions.
What do you think Steve does?
I know, and my boy knows. Exactly. Steve does it all the time. Like, go, yeah, I know, but, you know, he works hard.
He's on TV.
He's on TV.
He's a good writer. That boy's got away with words.
He's a good writer. You know? Don't look at his calves. They all right. Keyshawn's words all in my head now. My calves are fun. I got tattoos on my calves. I got to have calves if I got tattoos on them.
Well, you mentioned how it feels. So here's the thing. I wonder, because we've talked about it, put the, just the randomness aside for a second. What are these games going to feel like? Because it really is weird. If you have a bad week, a week, we're literally talking about an eighth of the season, give or take. I know it's not a perfect fraction, but you're talking about an eighth of the season, 12%. Okay? If you have a bad week, if you go 1-6, you are in deep trouble. And you just wonder what that feel is going to be like. Because, look, there's a difference between if you and I, LZ, are going to a bar and we turn on a Dodger game and they're playing the Padres in, you know, August, typically. You got one eye on it. We're having a conversation and you kind of glance at it once in a while. And if they win, hey, cool, Dodgers won. And if they lose, it's like, whatever. There's, you know, there's 80 more of these things coming down the road. Now, will that feel like a playoff game? Will that feel like the way that we watch playoff baseball, where every time somebody walks, every time somebody walks in, Clayton Kershaw, you know, let's say Clayton Kershaw gives up a hit in the or a home run in the fifth inning, and all of a sudden it's 3-0 and you're behind. You're thinking, do I need to go get that guy the way that you do in a playoff game? You're thinking, do I have to the luxury to wait around and see if he figures this thing out the way that you don't have in a playoff game? This is the big challenge for Dave Roberts and everyone else who is managing these teams, that you're going to have this sense of urgency, and you're going to have to create it, I think, almost out of thin air, because while the math makes sense, this is just so weird. I can tell you, hey, this one matters triple, which is basically what these games do. These matter triple. So think about it. A 6-game losing streak in the regular season, even good teams, whatever. That's like losing 18 in a row. So that's a big deal. Can you create that sense of urgency to manage like that, to perform like that? Knowing, you know, intellectually is one thing, but emotionally is totally different, to bring that level of intensity, that feel from literally the opening pitch of the opening game.
You know, that's a fantastic question, Travis, because these men have all been groomed and trained to not freak out, to say it's baseball, to say it's a long season, to say these things happen. This is what actually makes a great baseball manager, that kind of temperament. The guy who doesn't go into a tirade because you haven't gotten a hit in 5 games. That's what makes great managers. Now you're asking them to change, essentially, right? Because they need to freak out if their best player is on a hitless streak of 5 games, because you don't have the runway. And I tend to think the teams that have been together, like the Dodgers, are in better shape to handle those kind of scenarios. Because Dave has the kind of relationship with these guys that he doesn't need to say anything. A simple glance, a head nod, says every single thing that needs to know, because they all know what's at stake and they've all gotten the scars of not finishing the deal. These young teams, these teams, you know, with a lot of talent and who may have a manager who may not be as experienced in this battle, they may be in trouble because that manager may slip up and say something slick that takes off his star player even more. And they don't have the same sort of relationship because they haven't been through the same sort of battles. So no matter how you cut it, Travis, I just feel as if the Dodgers in particular are best suited for the 60-game stretch run because they know who they are. They trust each other. They've been through pain. They've experienced some joy. And there's nothing left you can throw at them in this abbreviated season that can throw them off their game.
No, I agree with that. I don't think that there's a team that is better equipped to deal with all the things we're talking about than the Dodgers are. They have the best combination of all the things that you just mentioned. I'm talking about just simple human nature, because from the time you start playing Little League baseball to high school baseball to whether you go to college or you enter the minor leagues or whatever it is, if I've heard this once, I've heard this a million times from, like, hey, you know, I can't get too high when I get three hits, and I can't get too low when I strike out three times. That not too high, not too low. No peaks, no valleys. Just kind of stay right in the same. That over the course of a season, this stuff will all work out. And you've been trained to think like that. And then you've also been trained to think like, okay, once we get into October, once the weather starts to get a little cool, then we kind of, the game kind of changes a little bit. The intensity kind of gets ramped up a little bit, that we manage differently. We have at-bats that are maybe a little bit differently, that you pitch a little bit differently. That's more of a mindset thing than anything else. And so, well, we can be through this. I don't know if I'll just pick a guy random. If I'm Cody Bellinger and opening day is July 30th, right, or July 25th, or whatever they ultimately end up landing on, and I'm crawling in the box against the San Diego Padres, and this is my first at-bat of the season, do I have that, you know what, if we lose tonight, it's a real problem? You know what I mean? And from the opening night, in football, you know that first game, if you go 10-6, you make it. If you go 9-7, you probably don't. It's the difference between a game. So those guys go out there, and they compete from week 1 through week 17 like it all matters, because it does. Baseball players have never had to do this. You've never had to go in your opening at bat of opening day thinking, you know what, I got to move this guy over. If I don't get this guy over, if I don't get a fly ball into the outfield, we're in big trouble here. It is a different dynamic, and I don't think the Dodgers are well equipped, but nobody knows how to simulate that urgency from the jump. It's going to be just bizarre.
It will. It will. You know, which is why even more important perhaps than having a strong manager is having good veteran leadership, which, again, check. Dodgers, yep, got that too. You know, you just have to be able to navigate this season and not have someone fly off the deep end, to your point. And the way you do that is by, one, relying upon your own seasoning and your own experience in tough times, but more importantly, a culture and an environment in which you lift each other's up. I tell you who you wouldn't want in this locker room right now, based upon what I've witnessed. You wouldn't want Puig in there. Now, Puig is the one who will roll his eyes when you strike out, you lose the game. And he's the one that might try and say some slick stuff about how, you know, we needed that win, or now it's up to me. He'll mess up and say some slick stuff. And I know this from experience, because I've watched him in hard times when he was with the Dodgers, and how he wasn't always the most supportive person physically for his physical demeanor in the clubhouse. So we don't have those guys anymore. We have lifter-uppers and supporters and encouragers and people who know the importance of having a good temperament when the pressure comes on.
All right. The NFL has been all systems go to start on time. Until now, there is a red flag. I'll tell you what it is next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. So, LZ, the NFL has been full steam ahead since the coronavirus pandemic. That they have been the one league that has not really had to alter their schedule all that much. The way that they do things has been changed. We had the draft online for the first time. We've seen teams having to meet virtually. We've seen a whole bunch of things that are different, but nothing that has been canceled, which leads you to believe that the NFL is on track to open the season on time, to open their camps on time. But today we found out that the game between the Cowboys and the Steelers that was scheduled for August 6th, the Hall of Fame game, the first preseason game of the season, kind of the unofficial beginning of the NFL season, has been canceled. That they're not postponed, but canceled. They're not going to play that game. It really is the first thing we've seen from the NFL where they said, we're going to have to alter our schedule with a cancellation. Different is one thing. Canceled is another.
Yeah, listen, it was a garbage game anyway. If we can keep it 100 for a second. Like, very few, if any, of the players who would be playing in the fourth quarter of that game would be playing in any quarter in the NFL season. So when you think about it from that way, yeah, it could be a sign that they're gearing up for interruption in the regular season, because, but it also could be a sign of them just being precautionary, precautionary. It's like, you know what? We don't really get anything out of this game anyway. Why expose people to risk for something when they don't have to be exposed to?
Well, I mean, I agree with you when you say that it's a garbage game. It is. But I guess my response to that would be all the preseason games are garbage games. I mean, this one may be slightly more garbage-esque than the other ones because it comes a week earlier than the other ones. And maybe the guys that are supposed to play even less than this. But the NFL is not in the business of canceling their events. They're not in the, even if the game is bad, and this is a game that's been bad pretty much forever, they still play them. That they've decided not to play it, I think is interesting. Because I think to your point, this is them understanding that they're going to have, once we start to play, it's going to be really difficult to continue to play. That once we start to play, and if there's anybody that's sick, it's going to get spread pretty quickly. So let's wait as long as we possibly can to introduce team-to-team contact, team-to-team, sharing a stadium. And I know they're not going to share locker rooms. They're going to spread out and all these things. But the longer we can delay this, the better. And then you just wonder, okay, we've delayed it. We've canceled that game. What happens when you play the next week? What happens when you play the week after that? And you wonder, that's the question that I have, is what happens once you start and players start to test positive? Because it's inevitable. It's going to happen. You were asking Baxter Holmes about this. What is terminal velocity in this where you say, okay, we just can't do this. And the longer you wait to start, the longer you're going to have to figure that out. You just don't know what it is, because if you lose a team or two, I don't know how you have – a league when you've got an entire team that maybe loses their secondary or loses their offensive line. I know there's taxi squads, but that's not quite the same thing.
No, it's not. And I don't know if the NFL has been working with the kind of physicians who will be able to help them come up with a decent enough answer to that question of terminal velocity, to use your term. But I'm going to assume that they're working on it. I'm going to assume, Travis, that even though I think I'm a smart guy and I know you're a smart guy and occasionally Raj says something accidentally that's intelligent.
ding, 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 ding.
Solid gold.
Now would that be one of those times, by the way? I'm going to assume that we aren't the first ones to think about these conversations, right? I'm going to assume someone in the NFL's office says, hey guys, how many victims can we have of this virus before we need to start shutting teams down, if not postponing the league? I'm going to assume those questions are being asked and being answered by medical physicians who can give them a good guess to work with. And so we may not know those answers right now, but I'm going to assume, Travis, that they're working on that number. And to our question of what do you do when a team loses their entire offensive line, I'm going to assume they have an answer. Because unlike an injury, which you can kind of play through if need be it, you can't play through this. If you need to be self-quarantined for 2 weeks, which is two games, maybe three, depending upon the way the schedule falls out, then you're not available. And that's just it. And teams are going to have to deal. And that's of course, assuming that it's just your offensive line and not no other aspects of your franchise.
And not your offense.
So I'm going to. Yeah. And not your offense. Exactly.
Right.
You know, or not your coaching staff. You know, so I'm going to assume that the NFL is working on that formula and they will have that formula in place by the time we start playing regular season games.
I get that. Football is different than other sports, but there's a lot of reason to be optimistic. And you look at what's going on in Europe with the soccer leagues. They have been playing and they're continuing to play. There are positive tests that pop up, but they keep going. We saw it with the PGA Tour here in this country yesterday, where Brooks Koepka's caddy and another person tested positive for coronavirus, and Koepka's out of the tournament. His caddy obviously is in quarantine, and they're proceeding. And then you're going to try to tweak the safety protocols along the way. But so far, with these leagues reintroducing play, it hasn't gotten to the point where, okay, there's one, ooh, there's two, there's four, there's eight, there's 16, there's 32. Okay, it's a wrap, we're done here. It has been, I don't know if isolated is the right word, but it has been sporadic the infections here, and it seems like they've been able to continue to do these things. Basketball is obviously very different than golf, and it's even different than soccer because close proximity, you're inside, all of the things that we know are probably more likely to spread than being outside and spread apart. But football, I just don't. I know they have the tier system. I know that they're going to have a taxi squad. But the second you start tackling each other, the second you have a quarterback under center screaming at the top of his lungs so his offensive linemen and wide receivers can hear him barking out signals, and we've seen linebackers on the other side screaming and pointing and yelling and all these things, and spittle and droplets are flying through the air. We'll see. We'll see, because once it starts in football, that's the one. I don't. Baseball, I think, will finish. Baseball, I think once they start, they'll finish, because the center fielder and the catcher are not going to be next to each other. And it's very rare we have two people. Maybe the first baseman holding on a runner at first base, you're kind of close. The catcher and the batter are kind of close, but it's pretty limited. Football, everybody's kind of close. That is the one sport that we've thought is going to be on time all the way, and the biggest sport in this country. Like, oh, cool, we're going to have football. By the fall, we'll have football, we'll have football, we'll have football. That's the one that seems to be the most likely to maybe start and then have to stop because they can't get a handle on
it. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, just look at what's happening in college and the way that this virus has just gone through teams. And then you start asking yourself, okay, if they're asymptomatic, if they don't get, you know, severely ill, if they say that they're feeling fine, then you ask yourself, well, what's the big deal, right? Well, the big deal is this. One, just because one person handled the virus one way doesn't mean the next person will. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Two, just because you're not feeling well doesn't mean, or you're feeling well doesn't mean you can't pass it on to someone on the coaching staff who might be a little older, who might be dealing with some health issues, who might be, you know, dealing with anything, respiratory issues, might have asthma. There's no telling how your presence can impact their health. Football has so many players, so many tentacles, and connected to so many different walks of life. It's just so hard for me to imagine, just what we've seen in college, that the NFL is going to be able to execute a season without a stoppage. And I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but I'm not going to be, you know, Pollyanna stupid either. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend like I don't see what's happening in Arizona and don't see what's happening in L.A. County and don't see three governors over in the Northeast saying, don't come here and let yourself quarantine for 14 days because we're just getting a handle on this thing and you're coming from Florida and Florida's being viewed as the next epicenter. Football can't dodge all of that.
No. It's funny because we spent, is this championship going to be legitimate? Is this season going to start? Are these guys going to start on time? Are they going to have to shut down and restart? The one that feels the one that would be most disappointing, that's the best way to put it. The one that would be most disappointing to me is what potentially could happen to the Lakers, because it's been a while. It's been 3 months since we've seen them play. So maybe it's faded a little bit. They were absolutely cooking, LZ. They were on fire. They were beating good teams. I know they lost their last game to the Nets before they went in, but that was on the heels of beating the Bucks. That was on the heels of beating the Clippers. That was on the heels of LeBron James making a push to win another MVP, of Anthony Davis playing great basketball, of all these guys that we've talked about. That if that one gets shut down, or the season inside the bubble gets weird and somebody gets knocked off because of some illnesses and they're missing some guys, of all of the different layers that we've talked about in the different sports of the different teams, the Lakers not being able to run this thing out the way that it felt like we were headed to would be the most disappointing.
Yeah. Yeah. I would agree with you. You know, for sure. You know, that, and of course the Sparks, that would be kind of a bummer too.
Yeah. Sure. Were they rolling?
I mean,
have to take your word for it.
You can mock the last team to win a championship for the city if you want to, but respect on their name. They're the last team that brought a chip to the city.
Didn't the galaxy?
I just like I said before, I'm not necessarily mocking it. I just am not interested in it. Is there not a difference between those two things?
Well, you're not alone, Travis. Move along.
All right. We all like to go out. We all like to go out. We all like to have a bite to eat. I suggest that maybe you don't look in the kitchen, and I'll explain why. That's next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Older than what I already feel like?
Yeah.
Hell,
yeah.
Sure, why not?
How about this? It was 36 years ago today. 36 years ago today that Prince released Purple Rain. 36 years.
Wow.
36 years?
Yes.
36 years? Why'd you do the math? If you would have just said 1984, I would like, oh, yeah, that's cool. That's cool. But why did you say 36
years ago? Man.
Holy cow. Right? Holy cow.
Did any of you
ready for that jelly. Hey.
Did any of you see the movie in the theater, or was it VCH just like me over and over and over again on a VCR?
I saw it on a VCR.
LZ?
I saw it in a VCR too. You know, remember, VCR, remember we were poor and broke. We had no money for no Prince.
I do remember getting the album, and this is what's weird. I remember getting Thriller. I remember getting Purple Rain. For whatever reason, I remember getting a Billy Idol record back in the 80s.
We got the original ones, man.
Like I've told you guys this before, this was never like a major part of my life, but I remember getting Purple Rain, and it was 36 years ago. That's crazy.
36 years ago? My gosh. First of all, this is what makes a classic album, people. Because I could play that album right now and not skip a single track and not feel like, that's dated. Like, it's such a classic album from beginning to end. And oh, by the way, it's not even his best. Come on now.
Yeah. I would say Maggie's Caffeine or the one with like Housequake and all that might be his best for me.
It's the most iconic, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. He snatched a whole color and made it his. Every time you do stuff like that, man, it is just like Jordan snatched 23. When you snatch a number and make it yours, you did some things. So he took a whole color, and no one else can do anything with purple without you thinking about Prince. And that's amazing.
Well, I mentioned Michael Jackson a minute ago with Thriller. We talked about him at the music videos the other day. Is this a LeBron Jordan thing, or is this an easy decision? The greatest between those two guys. Raj, I know where you come out. You and I have had this conversation before. LZ, is it close to you, or is it an easy call?
It's an easy call because I don't think, like Jordan and LeBron, they're two different players. They have two different games. I know we want to say, because they're at the top that we should be comparing them, but just the way that Magic and LeBron have more in common, Prince was more along the lines of grown folk music that's going to last and stand the test of time, music that's talking about real grown folk stuff like love and sex and pain and God. And he did all that to a funky. And then you got Michael Jackson, who's the ultimate entertainer. Now, lyrically, I would say, beat it.
You said it earlier. You said you could play Purple Rain, LZ, and it would still hold up today. Go ahead and walk around and play Beat It around the house. Let's see if that holds up.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I don't think there's too many songs on that album from Thriller that I can actually play and not feel old and weird about it.
Hey,
Beat It. I don't think
you guys have made me speak on behalf of my people frequently. So here's what I know for sure, that both are popular, but you want to see people think they're being really cool and think that they're really getting it. Put on some Michael Jackson records and they're going to let you know. That will if you put Beat It on at a wedding in my community, you're going to people think that they're really getting something new going on, that they're really, really feeling it. I'm just telling you, it might not go down like that in the Granderson household, but in a wedding or a party, that's what's going on in my community. I'm telling you that Michael Jackson wins that one in a runaway.
Travis, real talk? This is real talk, bruh. If you had a black wedding and Michael Jackson's playing, it's probably from off the wall. It's okay. Probably from off the wall. You might get like a Remember the Time or a Smooth Criminal, something like that. You might get something like that on a dance floor. But I would say half times out of 10, if Michael Jackson's playing at a wedding reception, it's something off or off the wall, which is by far his best record. But when it comes to Prince, you could drop almost anything from almost any album, and it's going to be rocking. And that's the difference. You can drop something from before Purple Rain. You can drop something from after Purple Rain. And no matter what you drop, for the most part, other than Diamonds and Pearls, it's going to be fly. Now, Diamonds and Pearls, I don't know what he was doing.
I didn't like that era, though. Yeah, that song was horrible. Yeah,
that Travis wasn't party good.
Back. That Travis wasn't party good. Back. Do you want to be starting something?
Raj, which wedding were you at? Now, you know,
now you know what, though? What now, Raj, it is funny. Raj, that's actually the one song that you could probably play from Thriller at a black wedding and you'd be all right. Because everybody loves cool. that. Same
as Michael. I was going to say, Billy Jean's all right, isn't it?
Come on.
Who's going to play Billie Jean's Not My Lover and you just got married?
See, this is where it's different. This is where this is the fundamental disconnect. We're not listening. You know what I mean? We just hear the music. We know the chorus.
You ain't got to tell us that, bro. We've known white folks ain't been listening for a long time. That ain't no breaking news, bro.
Yeah, weddings or otherwise. Weddings are it's funny. I know
we've been
got
singing about a whole bunch of stuff.
Right? The TVs are on here in my little makeshift studio, so they're showing all the Western Conference teams that are going back in. I've just made a decision. I need the New Orleans Pelicans in the playoffs. I need the Lakers to play the Pelicans in the first round.
So now you're on my side.
Yeah, I just think that would be to see Zion, to see Lonzo to come back against his old team, to see Brandon Ingram against his old team, Josh Hart against his old team. I'm not worried about them beating the Lakers. That's not really my my concern. I just think that would be great TV. That would be great competition to see the next big thing going up against the current big thing in LeBron James.
Come on, Pelicans!
I've been saying that forever. I've been saying that for forever and a day. That if we were to come back and there was an opportunity there for the Pelicans to get back in it, that's what the NBA wants. That is what the NBA wants. And I also want to see Ja Morant try and lead a team to stop that wave from coming. Because on paper, anyway, on paper, the New Orleans Pelicans are a much more talented team than the Memphis Grizzlies. But Ja Morant has proven to be a hell of a leader early. And so that's going to be a fascinating race either way.
Well, you've got the Blazers too. You've got Damian Lillard in the mix, and if we're just talking about
that's
one
different.
Guy,
see,
yeah,
that scares me. Travis. That's you've moved me from curiosity to not scaring me.
Well, he's the one guy in there that, as good as Ja Morant is, Ja Morant's not going to beat the Lakers by himself. He's just not. He's not ready for that yet. Dame Lillard might be. I don't think he'll do it, but I'm not going to say no because I've seen him do it too many other times. I've seen him take that team last year to the Western Conference Finals, hit a shot from nearly half court to knock out Paul George and Russell Westbrook in the Thunder. He is one of those guys that I don't care if he's on a worse team, he can be the difference in winning that series. He is scary, so hopefully they don't not even get into that little round-robin playoff they're going to do at the back end. Just get rid of them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I don't want to see Dame Lillard either, but I will give Ja Morant credit. He's done something that Zion couldn't do, which is lead his team in a win over the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
It will be very, really fascinating to see which of those teams actually do face the Lakers. But then, more importantly, at least selfishly, I would love to see one of these two rookies announce themselves in the postseason. Like, I love the fact that, there's a chance that Dame Lillard can come in and light up the world and be really exciting and be that great player. But I'm also excited to see the future generations. And there's an opportunity for a rookie One of them is going to win Rookie of the Year. It's likely to be John Morant. And it's just going to be fascinating to see a rookie come in and his very first battle, he has to defeat both the coronavirus and LeBron James just to get to the second round.
It's a tall order. That's asking a lot. It's a very young man.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot indeed. Crosstalk with George Sedano is coming up next. All right, George, I've got a question for you right out of the chute, and I'm going to judge you harshly based on your answer. You ready?
Okay.
Are you one of these monsters that combines two different types of cereal in one bowl and eat them simultaneously?
No, absolutely not. Although I will say this, that you did contaminate the jury pool by phrasing your question that way. But I will say this.
You don't like being called a monster?
I will say this. Trader Joe's has a and they have like the best snacks, let's be real here.
They do.
They really like, that's their entire business model, I feel like. It's just snacks. But the Trader Joe's, so I don't like salt and vinegar chips, right?
Okay.
But Trader Joe's has this thing. I wish I would have time to run over and get it. And I could tell you what it's called, but they have this chip now that's basically every flavor you've ever imagined combined, which includes like salt, vinegar, like sour cream and whatever. Like, it's just everything. And honestly, I had some reservations about it, and then I tasted it and I'm like, you know, that's pretty damn good. So when it comes to cereal, no. But when it comes to like something like snacks like that, usually that's not my deal. But that one, I'll give them credit for.
Yeah,
so apparently, basically just a chip with a lot of salt on it, basically.
Yeah, a lot of sodium, there's no question. Yeah, I mean, there's like all sorts of... Do you like everything but the bagel seasoning?
Yes, I do. And that also comes from Trader Joe's. Yeah. You can put that on almost anything. Because the reason we ask is that Kellogg's is going to put Fruit Loops and Frosted Flakes together in the same bag, in the same box. And so you can enjoy them simultaneously. We kind of opened it up to the listeners and what they wanted to do. And we did have a couple of good suggestions where you had Cocoa Puffs mixed with peanut butter crunch. So basically you're making a Reese's peanut butter cup concoction. Fine. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's not bad. I did find the name of this, okay? So the chip is called, here it is. It's called Trader Joe's New Patio Potato Chips. It says each bag contains a medley of chips, sea and salt vinegar, delicious dill, home-style ketchup, and smoking sweet barbecue.
It's a lot.
It's good, though. It's
potato.
Well, it's a fried potato chip, so that's going to be a winning combination no matter what. George, Elsie and I were just talking about this. And answer this however you want, whether you think it would be the most intriguing matchup, the most fun matchup, the easiest path for the Lakers, the most difficult path for the Lakers. Who would you like to see get that eighth seed in the Western Conference?
I mean, I'd like to see Zion. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that Portland would be interesting, too, because they're now going to be at full strength. But I the more Zion I can see, the better. And I know the reports are out there, and I talked to some people at the Pelicans, and they were telling me he's in unbelievable shape right now. I know people wondered, right? Like, during the quarantine, either you're going to balloon or you're going to lose weight. I have actually, luckily, thankfully, lost a few pounds, and I feel good about it. And Zion apparently has, too, and he is in unbelievable shape, I've heard.
I need to see pictures. I need to see pictures because he showed up looking like he had already eaten too much. So that's why.
Yeah.
His
knee's no longer a problem. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, there's that part of it, too.
Do you think that the Blazers ultimately end up getting it just because of what you did, Dame, and the fact that they're probably with a healthy Damian Lillard, they're probably just the best team?
Yeah, and again, they're only, what, a game and a half back or whatever it is, and Memphis's schedule is tough. Now, I know that the new schedule will be released tomorrow, but my understanding is, and I could be wrong about this, but this is just my knowledge of it, is that the schedule will basically be the same, except if you take out – all you got to do is take out the teams that aren't there of the 22. Now, if they're – still needs to be games made up. I think that's where the tricky part is. But Memphis on the surface already has a really brutal schedule.
What do you think of Ja Morant? In case of like OJ Mayo, Brandon Jennings, real flashy kind of first year, but then it's just going to be an okay player? Or do you think this season is an opportunity for him to announce himself like some of the great point guards of the past?
Oh, no, I think he's legit, LZ. Like, he is an incredible player to watch. His speed is – he's basically like Russell Westbrook and De'Aaron Fox morphed together. In the, you know, he's not as big and strong as Russell yet, but he's as quick as De'Aaron Fox, and he's as explosive as Russell Westbrook. So he's got a lot there. And by the way, his shot is better than both guys at this stage of their career. So I do think that he's going to be a player to be reckoned with for a really, really long time.
Any thread, but what's the worst case scenario?
Why didn't I mention him? Because I think Zion is just more interesting to me.
The worst case scenario, George, for the Lakers against Memphis is what? If Memphis holds on, do they win a game? Can they beat the Lakers once? Can Morant steal a couple of games the way that Damian Lillard, our guy, might?
Maybe one. Maybe.
That's a good note, George. Can you do that again? You had a really high. You went, maybe.
Maybe. I would feel like Damian Lillard, I think, is stealing a game for sure. Maybe two, but I think that Zion and that group, let's not forget the baby Lakers are all on that New Orleans team too, right? So they have motivation to get one if they can. I think maybe they get one. I don't think Memphis is as good as a team as the other two teams too. So I think that maybe Ja is good enough to do it. But I would think the other two that I mentioned have a better chance. I don't give Sacramento much of a chance at all, if they get in. To beat the Lakers once. So.
Well, half this squad already got the Rona anyway.
Alex Len and Buddy Hield. We should be careful with Mike. We should make sure that we take care of Michael Thompson. If the Bahamians start getting the coronavirus, which I believe is one of the countries that has the least amount of coronavirus, we need to protect Michael Thompson at all costs.
The Sedano Show is coming up next. We will see you tomorrow morning at 6 on the morning show on 710 ESPN.
Maybe.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.